1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, how many here want to grow more in your love towards your King? How many of us, we start this relationship off by getting our life right, we get saved, and then we really start to learn that He really does love us. But the truth is that we need to continue in that love. Because if you think you've maxed out the love of God, you think you know a whole lot, you can know a whole lot more. That depth is pretty deep. It's pretty wide. It's pretty tall. Can somebody say amen? And I know that as we love Him, is because He first loved us. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, tell me about it. I want to look at verse 13 here, start with this. It says, now these abide, faith, hope, and love. Of these three, the greatest of these is love. Now I want you to know that faith is important. It isn't like the other two are negated because love's in the chapter. How many of those, if you really care about somebody and you love somebody, you want to see them touched? How many believe that? So when it comes to faith, faith works by love. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But the operation of the faith starts to apply when love is applied. When Jesus was moved with compassion, He loved people. The Father didn't want to see people suffer. He sent His Son to heal all those who were oppressed of the devil. Now, I really believe that we need to get this in our spirit. Jesus went around healing all those oppressed of the devil. Not just some that were oppressed of the devil. Say amen. The only time there was a challenge is when the disciples weren't prayed up. This kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. So be fasted and prayed up. Oh, somebody say amen. Everything bows to His name. And if you really notice, Jesus gave them power to heal the sick before they were saved. Say amen. How much more now that we're filled with the Spirit, loving Him? We need to operate more in that arena. When you love somebody, you're thinking about them. When it comes to the body of believers, we should be in our hearts, if somebody's oppressed, if somebody's hurting, if somebody needs healing, we want to be quick to pray for them. Lord, somebody say amen. In 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, now here's abide, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Notice He's saying that the greatest of these, love is who He is. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Now if you think about the cross, for God so loved what? When did He love us? Before the foundation of the world. When we were yet sinners, true? Notice that the condition we were in, He was still loving us. I shared with the first service, one of the areas that's going to make hell so awful, besides the burning, the suffering, the separation, is knowing that a loving God provided a way so you didn't have to go to hell. Because see, you're going to see Him as He is. Every person will bow the knee and confess He's Lord. But can you imagine adding that you could have had another way, but you chose this lifestyle? See, no one's going to be blaming God when they're end up sending to hell. Because He's going to show them, I've done everything I can to keep you from it. That I even loved you, but you rejected Me. How many of those that'll add another layer, knowing that you could have had a different path? You could have had a new Lord in your life. You could have had heaven in your home, but you chose this. When it comes to the church needs to operate in a level of love that needs to increase like never before. Because the more we mature in love, the more we'll realize how much we really need Him in our life. And how much people really need a touch. If the church matures in love, we'll be ready for the world to come in. Now I'm going to give you some homework for next week. I don't like homework. Homework is too hard. When I was in school, it was homework. Luke 15, I want you to begin to go through this. Now, it's a familiar portion of Scripture about the prodigal son. But you're going to see that just because you're in the Father's house doesn't mean you have the right heart while you're there. And it's amazing how we can have a brother kill the spirit and still serve the Father. Oh, Jesus. Amen? We're going to get into that. That the Father's going to love both His sons, but it's amazing how we can treat one another and still have the same love from the Father. We'll be getting into that next couple weeks here. Somebody say amen. In Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, to be filled with all the fullness of God. You heard a prophetic word this morning through our sister here, that we need to know that area, that love. You know, the Word of God is so important to our spirit man that we need to sow that deep within. It changes this mind. This mind needs to be renewed. I said this mind needs to be renewed. You can't have the Spirit of God working with you and have carnal thoughts working. It's like a battlefield inside of you. But when your mind is renewed through the Word, working with the Spirit of God, it goes to another level. I said it goes to another level. It says that you might be comprehend with all the saints. Notice that this isn't just a doctrine for Lighthouse Church. Every saint needs to grow and know and learn. And I've learned this, the more I love God, the more I see how deep that is, how wide that is, how tall that is. It's like it's always ever expanding. Now, I'll ask the first service this. How many in here ever handled a situation different because you were saved? You would have responded this way before, responded this way. Has anyone ever looked at yourself and said, man, I handled that a little bit different? How many of us, that's a good thing? It shows some change. But how many here have ever responded the same way, even though you're a Christian? How many of us, Lord, we need to work on it. The Lord's teaching me patience. And it's usually done through other people. Amen? My wife and I were talking about, like I shared last week, somebody's always cutting me off. I don't know why. I drive normal. I do. And just when I said, you know what, somebody's always cutting me off. 30 seconds later, somebody cut me right off. And my wife looked at me and goes, see, the Lord's still teaching you. I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord. So now I'm getting on the on-ramp to go on the expressway. And the individual is doing 15 miles an hour. How do I know that? I look down. And it's a long entrance ramp. And we're going 15. These guys are doing 75 plus. I'm coming onto the expressway at 15 miles an hour. How many think that's pretty dangerous? Cars are doing this. I'm like, whew. I looked at my wife. I go, what's the Lord teaching me here? I'm thinking, maybe I just come up to his bumper and just push him. Make it faster. Oh, nobody here, you don't think anything like that. I mean, it was dangerous. Amen? I prayed, Lord, give him eyes to see his odometer, speedometer. Oh, you're all perfect in here. Amen? I mean, Lord, work. In life, you're going to be tested in your love. It may come from your own family. It may come from a workplace. And believe me, your family knows how to test your love. How do we respond? When I look at Jesus, was he pushed out of measure? Was he crushed as it were? Yet what came out of him? Amen. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Aren't you glad he didn't have a moment of weakness? Say, Father, I'm done with them all. He could have done that. He could have said, I'm starting over, forget it. He could have said, angels, come take me down from here. Boom, it would have happened. Yet he moved on through. That when the world was hating him, he was still loving. How many think you got some areas to go yet? Because sometimes it's hard when somebody pushes on us or mistreats us or says something evil about us. Sometimes it rises up or we don't really want to forgive at that moment. I had a situation where I worked at this company and this gentleman seemed like he always just got on me. And I'm like, dude, I go, whatever. He'd go to the boss and say, hey, this guy's not working. He's just sharing his faith. Boss would come up to me and goes, hey, I got a complaint about you. I go, what's the complaint? He goes, well, you're sharing your faith. I go, that's not true. I'm doing a good job for you. I shared with this individual on my break time, and he asked me a question about my faith. I mean, sometimes the Lord will help you defend. Now let it go. Well, in the process of time, this gentleman's mom got sick, hospital. And he came up to me. Now, it was a continual, always badgering type thing. And he came up to me, goes, you know what, would you come and pray for my mom? And for just a brief second, I almost said, look, I'm kind of busy. I really can't do it. I thought it. But I said, no, I'll come. Where's she at? I'll meet you up there. How many think I had to operate there? I didn't feel like it. But that ain't what Jesus would have done, would he? Would he have went up there and prayed? Would he have just nullified all the negative stuff and went? Well, I went up there. I wasn't the most reluctant, but I went up there. Mom was going. She was passing away. I looked at Mom, and she had the mask on. I said, can you hear me? She nodded her head. Her eyes really opened wide. I said, I'm going to pray with you. Are you ready to receive Christ? She nodded her head what she could, and I prayed with her. And I remember looking at this guy I worked with. His head was down. Tears were in his eyes. God was touching him too. I prayed with her. She departed and went on with the Lord. I said, listen, I'll keep holding your family up in prayer. And I left. It touched that guy. And then I went to my car and I repented. Lord, may I not respond because they responded to me this way. If they speak evil of me, they're speaking evil of you. I was just the target. But you heard it. How many of those I had to change? Amen? It changed my relationship with this guy. The next day, I went to work in front of all these guys. Hey! This guy here came and prayed for my mom. If you got a problem with that, come see me. I didn't have to defend nothing. Amen? And we became friends. That little act. Now, I never shared with them, I was reluctant to come pray for your mom. Really didn't want to do that. But God was working on me as much as that situation. What did Jesus do when he was going to the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Think about the insults he just went through. We're just not talking about they just laid him down, nailed him, stuck him up. He's bleeding to death. He's whipped. His face is worse than hamburger. There's no beauty that you should behold him. He's stripped naked. And yet he says, Father, forgive them. Lord, I got a long way to go yet in your love. Teach me. How many knows there's some depth to that? There's some width to that. There's some height to that. But if I'm in Christ Jesus, I can know those things. How many want to love like him? How many want to love like him? As your pastor, one of the things I want to instill in you is the love of God. That we need to love people. We do. Some may get on you. Now, that doesn't mean you're a pushover either. Love says no. I took my father, Lynn and I had to take my father in for some tests at the hospital. And we had to go through the emergency. That isn't a one-hour trip. We were there for 7 hours waiting for results and whatnot. They only allowed one person back, so one of us had to stay out in the foyer. And they were real strict there, like, no, you know. So I would go for my dad to see where Lynn was, how she's doing, come back, see my dad, wait for the test results. Well, while I'm out in the foyer, this gentleman comes up to me. And he He's been walking around, I've noticed. We're 7 hours, you can see a whole lot. Somebody say amen. In fact, you can see a shift change sometimes if you're in the middle. And he asked me, he goes, look, I need some money for a taxi cab. I need to get home. And I'm always open to bless and help people. Don't get me wrong. But I happened to notice that he got out of that car when I came up to the building. His mom was in the back because I've already met her. I've seen her 100 times. Are you hearing me here? And he came back the second time with a big old coffee thing from Starbucks, which probably cost him $20 at the hospital. And he's asking me for cab money, yet he's not going to get in a cab. And I looked at him, I said, no, I'm sorry, I really can't help you there. He grumbled a little bit and walked off. But then I noticed him get in the car outside the door because I was next to the window. There are sometimes you need to have a little discernment. You want to help, but is it helping? Sometimes with our families, we want to help, but are you helping them in their vices or getting them help they need? How many understand the difference? You're still loving, but you're also wise. Somebody say amen. The truth is that, Lord, help me in that area. In Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Notice if you're rooted in those areas, you don't become weird or strange. Many times in Christianity, you can add years to your Christianity. That doesn't mean years in maturity. I know sometimes you may be saved for a while, but are you really growing in that area? Are you really striving? Are you rooted in that? What happens if you're rooted in love? The greatest roots you can ever have. The tree gets what you're rooted in. I mean, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. Then, Lord, I want everything so I'm rooted in Christ. Everything that Christ is comes in me and is produced in my life. I want to have every fruit of the Spirit in fullness there. If I have every fruit in fullness, every gift is in operation accordingly. I've seen people prophesy, not here in this church, but I've seen people prophesy that sound like a gong. Bang. No love in the midst of it. It may have been a true word, but it wasn't easily to be entreated. I understand it. But I've seen people that are loving people, serving the Lord, bring forth a word that brought change in the environment. That's what the Lord did. There are times that he was tough. It was, but he was still loving. How many of us, he had the right balance. When we're rooted in love, you know what? You're not rooted in hate. Do you know Satan's rooted in hate? He's a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't speak the truth. I mean, he's impossible for him. When you're rooted in Christ, everything you need now comes in that area. Now, who's a horticulturist in here? If you have a green thumb, you can grow anything. One person. You guys are all like me. If it's not there, it dies. I can kill a cactus. Who can grow some stuff? You can grow some stuff? You can grow some stuff? Yeah, all right. It takes a little time to grow, true? It takes consistent caring. But sooner or later, you can reap the fruit of your harvest. A nice flower bed, a nice plant, vegetables, whatever. You can enjoy those because you can tell. A garden left unattended gets weeds. A Christian life unattended gets weeds. And the weeds will choke out the good seed. I mean, sometimes we need, Lord, hold that area. Cut that branch off. Trim that up. It may not be comfortable at the time, but I'll produce more. Amen? To me, some of your greatest growth times isn't when it's all, woo! It's when you really got to strive. When heaven is silent and the words seem like they bounce off the ceiling, you're probably growing more at that time than ever. Because it's by faith. You heard that word again, didn't you? Everything you receive from the Lord is by faith. We're so sense-oriented today that we forget, no, I receive it by faith. You got your life right by faith, didn't you? Yes or no? How many asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Did that come by faith? And you know that your life is right, true? Well, how about the rest of it? Apply it to that area too. The Lord, I'm going to walk in faith in these areas. I got the big area down, and we got it down. To me, it's because we've had a lot of preaching on salvation. We've gotten that down. But we need it in other areas also. As your pastor, I want you to be rooted in love. Now, I share with the first service, heaven will not be a retirement home. It's not. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, we're going to serve Him. Now, I've gotten the first 1,000 years down. I got the first 1,000 years from Scripture down. I can kind of follow along what's going to go on. What happens after the millennial reign of Christ? What's next? What's eternity future like? But Lord, He's got a plan. Amen? And we will serve Him all the days of our life. Whatever that entails, we will serve Him. It entails serving people. How am I going to do it with great joy? No problem. Amen? And I think about, I don't believe you lose all your giftings when you get to heaven either. I kind of have an understanding that the Lord's even going to use your giftings forever. Won't that be cool? You know how many great architects are in heaven today? How many great chefs are in heaven today? How many great musicians are in heaven today? How many great singers are in heaven? How many great artists are in heaven? Think about it. We're going to be packed with people that know how to do some stuff that you can't do or I can't do. And there's something you can do that they can't do either. But Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Learn to be a servant. Now here's a true fact. There in heaven, there's 24 seats for the elders. But see, they're not just sitting there or like, serve me. No, they're already serving. That even in heaven, those that have great authority and power still serve. Jesus said, I'm the example. If I, your Lord, do this, you ought to do this also. So no matter where they're at, Moses will still serve, even though he was great in heaven, on earth. He'll still serve. King David will still serve. What if King David came along and gave you a cup of whatever, cold water, crystal clear, super, right from the stream of God, all right? Do you think it'd be above him? No, he would do it. What if Jesus came along and said, you know what? What do you need today? He would still do it, not think it was above him. Why? Because he loves us. The love of God is... But the love of God should start to constrain us too. It should keep us in that arena like, no, I don't want to do this because I love Him. It's not a matter of not do's and don't. No, I don't want to do this because I love Him. Now, my wife and I had a great road trip yesterday. I think we put like 350 miles on, going to look at a dog. He is way out west side of the state. Drove through some areas. She likes all kinds of knick-knack, paddywhack, give the dog a bone stuff. So we stopped at every flea market, every antique store, even this place called, I can't believe how cheap this is. I think that was the name of the place. With a name like that, I got to stop, all right? We pull in there and they had cheap stuff. But I looked at this one bag, it was a tool bag, and the guy comes up to me, the owner goes, $4, you can have it. I looked at him and go, Four bucks, I'll walk out with it, amen. How can I not? Can't believe it's that cheap, amen. Well, we had a good time. Why? Because you rehearse that. You stoke that up. How many of us, we need to keep that stoked up in our hearts? I said we need to keep that love stoked up in our hearts. Do you know love can grow cold? Love can grow cold. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have something against you. He's talking to church people. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, which you have fallen, repent and do your first works, else I'll come quickly and remove your lampstand out of its place if you don't repent. When I've seen love grow cold. And when love grows cold, here's what Scripture said, an evil heart of unbelief sets in. It's not neutral. An evil heart of unbelief sets in. And you can see it when love grows cold. I don't want anything to do with faith. I don't want, oh God, He don't care. I tried that stuff. You get cold in that area. Hebrews warns us in 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren. Who's he talking to? Us. Beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. When I look today, Matthew 24, verse 12. Because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Today I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen to people I never thought would walk away from the Lord. Personal friends that I've served with for many years don't even care about the things of God now. The love of God grew cold, and an evil heart of unbelief sets in. And believe me, when your heart and mind isn't being renewed in the Word, you'll believe all kinds of strange stuff. The enemy will not keep you neutral, and you'll pick up some bad stuff, some bad teaching, and you'll be headlong way over there in a very short time. Sometimes we need to renew our mind. We shouldn't see how far we can get away from the Lord. We should see how close we can get to God. I want to know the heights, the depths, the width. I want to be immersed in those areas. Notice he speaks to the church in Revelation. Beware, brethren. Listen, that's spoken to a church. Can you imagine Jesus showing up to church and finds no love there? What's he speak to that church? Repent. That's what you need to do, is you need to repent. We're still living in the church age. A church that is loveless, listen to me, power. You may have a lot of attenders, but there's no real power. Oh, that's good preaching today. Lord, keep me from this area. Many times we're good at works. We're good at showing those things. But where's our heart at? Have you ever met somebody that's in love with God? What are they like? What comes to mind? How many knows there's a peace there? There's a joy there. You can tell there's a difference. Like I've shared before, the last wedding I went to, there was an elderly couple sitting on the other side. I was a guest. They were well in their 80s, this husband and wife. I introduced myself. They did. I said, well, tell me about yourself. He said, son, I've been saved longer than I can know. I've been serving the Lord 60, 70 years, me and my wife. And I love God more now than I did when I first got saved. I looked at him, I said, you're a great example to follow. How many of us, we can do that all the days of our life? And how much should we love him? Doesn't it say with all your soul, with all your might? Doesn't it say that's how we should love him? Then Lord, I need to have that quest to fall in love with him. We just sang about it. Wrap me in your arms. Then we keep ourselves there. You have to place yourself in that position. Because if you don't, believe me, the other end road is it goes cold. Well, you know, me and my wife are joking all the way driving. Got 350 miles to go. Stopping at all these places. She says, you want to go into that place? Sure, pull the car over, get out of the car, look at knick-knack, paddy-whack, give the dog a bone. She likes it. I can live with it. Amen? I always try to find a tool section in there or some boyish thing, but she'll pick up the little knick-knack. Oh, this is so light, I like this thing. And she'll show me and I'll go, yeah, it's okay. No, that's lame. All right, I'll speak the truth. She found this lunchbox from like the 1920s. It was a coal miner's lunchbox. It had multi-levels to it, multi-lids to keep it from getting like anything in there. It was really cool. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. So she bought it. Amen. She found bowls. There's bowls at my house. There's bowls in the sink. There's bowls on the bowls in next to the bed. There's bowls everywhere. If you need bowls, I got bowls. I got bowls upstairs. I got bowls downstairs. I got bowls in the basement. I got bowls next to where the dog's going to sit. There's bowls. I got bowls. You need bowls, I got bowls. But she likes bowls, so I'm fine with bowls. Amen? It's all good. Why? Because I love her. And I never wanted to feel like I'm just a part of her life, but her life. Well, you heard earlier, let's not make devotion like, oh, I got to pray. Can you imagine that? Lord, I'm going to spend time with you, Lord, but it's kind of tough. I'd like to visit you, but man, it's really tough having that time. No, don't have a devotion like that. No, you want to. Amen? You want to because you love Him. And it's a joy. It's a joy to learn about. Even the boring parts of Scripture when 10,000 from this tribe and 10,000 from this tribe, and you got to learn through all them words. Lord, I'm going to get through this because there's got to be some spiritual truth in there somewhere. Amen? I'm done with numbers, but praise God, I really want to go. So give me more. But you got to help me. Is this good today? Let's keep it soft. Love always has action. I'll close with this in a minute. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, when Paul addressed the church, he said, "Grace be unto you and peace from our Lord Jesus. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You're always in every prayer of mine." Notice how he addresses the church. Not like, "I got to pray for you, Philippians. You're a big bother and you know you got a lot of problems." No, he says, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you." We need to have that treatment towards others. When you think of somebody, you know what? Lord, touch them. Amen? Well, after I visited this guy's mother, I really started to look at harsh words against me like, you know what? That'll change one day. And if it doesn't change in my lifetime, it'll change in that person's. And I started to let some of the stuff just run off. I learned if it ran off, it didn't bother me much. And if I took the washing of the word, I could wash all that off. I know who I am in Christ. So I stopped letting people's opinions dictate how I felt. Respond. I like when people walk side by side. If you don't, did Jesus be affected by it or did he continue through it? Father, forgive him. He never made it personal. Jesus said, "If they hate you, they probably hated me first." I'm not going to make it personal. You know, it's a whole lot easier when it can roll off of you. Amen? I learned one time I had to do a lot of painting in this particular job. And it seemed like the paint, even though I had a suit on, got in the areas. Well, there was an older gentleman there that's worked there for a while. And I go, "How do you keep it off, getting out of your fingernails?" He goes, "I got one thing. It's messy, it's nasty, but you'll do it later. Take a bunch of Vaseline, smear it on all your extremities, put it upon your face. When you go in that booth," he goes, "when you come out, you'll just wipe it off and all the junk will go with it. Plus your skin will be nice and moisturized." Well, I tried it. You know what? It took a little bit to get the Vaseline off, but there was nothing there. Amen? Then, Lord, let me be coated in the love. That I may be saturated with what the world has, but it's just going to wash right off. Hallelujah. It saved me hours worth of scrubbing, trying to get the stuff off me. Say amen. I mean, keep yourself in the love of God. Immerse yourself in there. Things begin to run off you. Amen. And if Philippians wasn't enough, he addressed the church in Colossae, and I'll close this. "To all the saints and the faithful brethren, to you that are in Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from our Lord Jesus. We give thanks to God to our Lord always for you, praying for you always." Notice he had the same heart. It wasn't just like, "I like the Philippian church, but I don't like the Corinthian church. The Colossian church, no way." No, he treated them all the same because they were in his heart. In fact, the matter is, if you notice Paul's life when he was about to lose his life, he said this, "My heart's desire is this. My only fear, my only struggle is that when I pass on, grievous wolves will come in and scatter the flock." He wasn't even worried about his own life, but the people that were going to be left behind. That needs to be our heart, church. When we look at individuals, they may mistreat you, but how are you going to treat them? I'm not saying their action is right, but the truth is that let me treat them like you want me to. Let me be that way. And I'll close with this. In Genesis 45, verses 14 and 15, remember when Joseph was sold into Egypt? Who was he sold out by? His brothers. What if your brother or your sister, if you have one, sold you out? And not just down the street, sold you to another country, another nation where you don't speak the language. You're a slave now to that area. And your family thinks you're dead. They take a rag back, your coat, and show your dad, so he has a funeral for you. He weeps and mourns and doesn't hear another peep for the next 13 years of your life. And then all of a sudden, there's a famine in the land, and his brothers have to go into Egypt. And they meet Joseph. How many in here would like, forget you guys. You sold me out. My family don't even know I'm alive. Now you want food? What did Joseph do? He had compassion. He realized that you may have been the vehicle, but God put me here. I needed to be here because the famine is going to be so great, no one would be left alive if I wasn't here. I mean, that's pretty awesome. And when he saw his brothers, he couldn't contain himself. A few times he spoke through an interpreter, then he broke down and he wept and he kissed his brethren. Lord, let me have that heart. That even if your family sells you out, tells your family you're dead, you have to be away in another strange land, that when you finally see him, you can still love. How many got some areas to grow? When I look at some of the characters, some of these individuals, Lord, let me have that character. Teach me. Amen? And to me, he only could come to power by what he went through. You know why he was in prison? I know that Potiphar's wife sold him out. But he had to learn how to deal with all the swindlers. So what better environment than with a bunch of thieves? I'll know how to discern a little more. Everything he went through positioned him for power and authority. Just like your own life. What you go through, God will position you to do more. Somebody say amen. You enjoy this morning? How many get the love tank needs to be a little full? How many have some areas that when you're pushed and squeezed, you need a little more love coming out? Let me see your hand. Me too. Lord, let me have that. But how many want to be like Joseph? That even if you're wrong, you can still love. Amen? And if you think about it, Joseph ended up being second in command. How many knows his life was blessed? More than he could have if he would have stayed with his children. God will put you in the right place. Time with the right heart. Hallelujah. Keep a right heart, even if you're wronged. Amen. Amen. Now, next week, I want you to look at Luke 15. We're going to be dealing with that. I want us not to have a brother-killing spirit. Hallelujah. If you would lift your hands towards heaven, Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, there are so many levels we can go to in your love. But God, it all starts in Christ. That Jesus, you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And Lord Jesus, Lord, let us never have an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. But Lord, we'll keep this relationship stirred up, stoked up, and Lord, loving you like we should. Lord, forgive us of every trespass, every sin, every weight, Lord God. We cast aside, we run this race with patience, looking unto you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Teach each one, Lord God. And Lord, as we're squeezed, Lord, while we're here, that love will come forth. Give us discernment. Give us balance. But Father, work in Jesus' name. Amen.